This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. There is no shortage of euphemisms about losing your virginity.
Look at the flower in your hand, Jane. Notice how perfect it is. Now, mija, crumple it up.
Really, Mom?
Shh.
But this is so lame.
Mommy!
Shh. Crumple up the flower, Jane. Good. Try to make it look new again.
I can't.
That's right. You can never go back. And that's what happens when you lose your virginity. You can never go back.
Well, there's a clip from Jane the Virgin on the CW network. For young women, lessons like this can be formative and sometimes shaming. A new play called Licked Cupcake explores this territory and how organized religion can influence what young women learn about their sexuality. The play is on stage at the Royal Bakery Building in Raleigh this Thursday through Sunday and again next week. It's part of the Women's Theater Festival taking place across the Triangle through August. And joining me now is Johanna Edwards. She is director for Licked Cupcake. Johanna, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Tell us more about this idea and how it got started, the idea for this play.
Yeah, I was doing my first Women's Theater Festival production, Little Women, in the fall, and I became friends with another woman in the cast. Her name's Corey Vella, and she grew up Mormon, and backstage she was starting to tell us about some of the very weird to us things that happened in her strict Mormon upbringing, and she shared the story of the licked cupcake, which is an object lesson taught to 12-year-old girls where the instructor teaches them about the importance of preserving their virtue for their future husband, who will be a priesthood holder in the church. And the teacher does this by licking a cupcake in front of the girls and asking them, well, who wants to eat this one that I've already licked? And so the idea is that you're damaged.
Yeah. goodness gracious. And this is an instructor to a group of girls.
Yes.
So this is not just something that somebody dreamed of. This is a systematic way of
of
teaching this. And so you're sharing this, and you begin to think about maybe some of the ways in which you. I understand you grew up Roman Catholic. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you may have had a few talks about that very thing.
Oh no, we don't talk about sex.
I see. What about the formation, though? So where did the idea for this show come about? And maybe tell us a little bit more about the show itself.
Yeah, so after she told us about that image just stuck in our minds as theater makers. So there were so many women backstage who then all started sharing about their experiences in religion and things that they'd heard about. And we thought that this could be a great piece to explore. And then when Ashley Popio announced the Women Are Funny season, we thought taking this idea of a licked cupcake and bringing the comedy to such a sensitive subject would be a beautiful way to look at it. And it's very Women's Theater Festival. This is women making theater about women's issues in a funny way. So we just started running with it and just coming up with different ideas, going down different avenues. Then the next part was picking an amazing team of people with excellent point of views on religion, sexuality, or both, and then developing characters sort of based on themselves, and then taking the other ideas within the theme that they felt most strongly about to start developing text and movement sequences. And little by little, we were able to put it together in a play.
And the theme is more broadly the influence of religion on sexuality and coming of age, not just virginity.
Right. There's a lot to do with sexuality and just many of the ways that women growing up can feel broken inside based on something that they were taught that came from above, and learning to reject what's not working and to use what did work.
Right. Well, so tell us about the structure of this particular play and how these ideas then would look on the stage.
Yeah. So we came up with a structure of a support group setting. So like a support group for lost souls where all these people could meet. Once we had our support group leader, we found that this would be a kind of magical space where fantastical things could happen. You can relive your past situations or enact your own dreams of what you would like to have had happen or ways that you would want to redo that piece. And so within that, we can explore all these women's stories and keep bringing it back to the group and how part of their process of healing, trusting, and believing in something again comes from this idea of group support, of relying on a community.
So is this then a kind of series of monologues that are very well scripted in the context of the support group? And then what are the dynamics among the group members?
Yeah, so it's mostly told in monologue and movement, but it really is, I know people have their own conceived notions about what devised theater is. I would say that ours is much more like a traditional narrative play than you would expect. So we, in Act One, we keep coming back to the structure of the support group, either starting a new session, we find the women in mid-session, and then in Act Two, we shatter the music box a little bit and let the magic leak out into every crevice of the room.
It's very interesting stuff, and I just wonder what how it's been for you to go through this process, because certainly religious belief and spiritual content and guidance can provide a very nurturing environment for people and allow them to cope with some of the big questions. But whenever any organization, whether it's political or religious, reduces a human being to whether or not they've had sex, then the value of an entire human being to their sexuality, then there's something wrong with that concept. What are the ways in which the women in this group have been sharing some of those thoughts?
That is an amazing question. So we have a broad range of women. We have actual believing Christians. We have a Gnostic in our group. We have people who have tried all sorts of different things and, you know, most who have rejected all structured religion to move forward. But basically, we come to the thesis that having a belief system is a good thing. Having a faith in something, having a place to put your feelings. For me personally, it's the feeling of gratitude that I feel every single day. And maybe as a non-Christian believer, I still need to find a place to put that spiritually, emotionally, to keep myself moving forward. So in our play, we can reject the structure of religion. We can reject the politics and the putting people in boxes and still take what is good about love in a way that Jesus would believe in something bigger than yourself.
All of the great prophets, in fact, has preached that message, and it's amazing how it gets interpreted in the generations that follow. So tell us more about the characters in this particular play.
We have a range of beautiful, wonderful characters. We have, of course, our Molly, who is our Mormon character. It's apparently I've learned so much about Mormonism. Molly Mormon is a stereotype for the perfect Mormon girl who's supposed to find her Peter priesthood. And our Molly has an obsession with Wizard of Oz. So in the story of our play, she gets to go down her own yellow brick road. Some of the other amazing characters, we have Gail, who is a trans woman trying to answer questions of spirituality and sense of self. We have a devout Christian lesbian woman who's looking to get married and her home church won't marry her, and dealing with those issues of resolving her actual faith with what her church is able to provide and the personage of her pastor who had been there for her all her life and can't do this for her. We have a couple of teenagers in the show who are grappling with big questions. One of the teenage characters has a situation with a friend that her friend was abused by a member of the church. And so now her whole trust in adults, in the church, in everything is kind of shattered. And she's trying to navigate middle school at the same time, which we'll hear later a song about that.
Well, let's meet some of these characters now, because joining me are members of the production. Cheryl Edson, Kristen Dewey, and Denver Sky Vaughn are all actors in Licked Cupcake. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Amazing to be here.
Very nice to be and nice to have you here. And Cheryl, let me start with you and ask you a question about your character, Paige. Tell us more about Paige.
Sure. So Paige is a middle school health and sex education teacher, and she is struggling with the sort of systemic politics behind how we talk to kids in school about sexuality and coming of age, and her frustrations with abstinence-only programs that have proven to be not effective, or limitations on what she's allowed to talk about in terms of LGBT issues in her classroom. And so she's struggling with that as she also goes on her own personal journey.
All right. And tell us more about some of those challenges and what she does, because there are now, especially in public schools, some very strict rules about what you may or may not say, right?
Yes. There are some very strict rules. It can vary from state to state. But so she is trying to figure out what she can do within those confines to try to make a difference. And so in the context of our show, she even feels the need to burst into song to offer the advice that she wished someone had given to her when she was growing up. And she offers it particularly to the teenagers in our cast, but to try to offer, what kind of advice do you wish you had known about? And she does it as a magical superhero unicorn who raps. So it's just really wonderful all around.
Oh, that old device.
Yeah.
Yep. Kristen, your character's name is Dewey, which is also your last name, and you go by Dewey. So tell us more about your character.
Well, my character, if you can guess it, is based on me. Mm-hmm. Just a pretty exaggerated version of myself. I've always found myself to be a little much, so now I'm too much for the show. And my character basically started around this true story of I was supposed to make my confirmation when I was 14. And I realized around that time I didn't want to do it. I didn't believe in it. And they said, well, do it anyway. You know, everyone will be disappointed. So I did it, but I didn't answer the questions that I was supposed to answer during the ceremony, which I thought would go unnoticed, but it didn't.
What did the bishop do?
Well, the bishop didn't notice. My confirmation sponsor and my parents, who were watching me pretty closely, noticed. But I think it was easier to get my parents to come around to an understanding that it wasn't a rebellion against them. It was a need to be honest and true to myself. And Dewey's character, that's where her faith is going into, and that's where her religion, if you will, lies, is in the universe and truth and imbalance, and in that God and goddess inside of all of us that kind of is just screaming to get out.
And Johanna, let me ask you, because this is based on, the characters are asked to actually use their own personal experience to bring this to the stage, right?
Yes, that was in the audition. We asked everyone who auditioned for us to share a personal story about coming of age or of an experience in religion that shaped them, and we cast them accordingly.
Well, Denver, tell me about this, because you helped write some of the music for this production. And we're going to hear a song in a little bit, but first, maybe tell us more about the musical component and how it fits into this play.
Yeah, so our music sort of began, sort of like our exercises in movement or text, and then we would go from there.
Was the idea that this would, I want to put this question to Johanna, because I know you put this together, and I'll come right back to you. But did you hear music in this when it began?
Absolutely, but I didn't realize the level of talent that I had in musicians and songwriters. And to tell you the truth, I don't know that they realized they had it in them too. These songs that Denver and Cheryl have written are strokes of pure genius.
Well, let's hear. I want to hear a scene actually right now, if I can, and we'll come back to the music and see how all this fits. But Cheryl, you have a short scene that you prepared for us, and maybe you can give us some context for this. I think you're working with Dewey on this one, right?
Yes. So this happens in Act Two, where Paige decides to open up to the support group a little bit more about her personal life, and they're all discussing religion and what we think happens in the afterlife, and Paige is struggling with her beliefs. I think, after all this, there's nothing, existing to non-existing.
And no one said, let there be nothing.
You might think that's depressing, a nihilistic void of insignificance.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Meaning.
Meaning who?
Meaningless.
You might think believing in eternal oblivion invites chaos and anarchy.
If you don't need to collect good deed points to level up to heaven, why be good?
Though, if chaos is indulging the senses and enjoying the hell out of existence,
what's wrong with a little chaos?
And if right here, right now, is all we get...
This time has to be meaningful.
I think I'm wasting that time. I used to believe in something greater, something after this life. My dad died when I was 6, but I would still talk to him, this man in the sky. I would sit on an orange stool with a painted giraffe, looking out the kitchen window. I invented him to be the most awesome dad ever, who always wanted to talk about exactly what I wanted. I told him I couldn't get a cat because my sister was allergic, and that I was going to be a spy for the CIA when I grew up. He was my personalized superhero. To be fair, I had 2 superheroes. Imaginary Sky Dad, playing Angel Bocce with Comets, and my single mother. Balancer of bills, provider of kisses to scraped knees, and overall wondrous woman. While she handled the everyday with extraordinary grace, it was comforting, thinking of my dad looking down. Then, eventually, it was weird. My father always watching, every misdeed and unkind word. When I was 13 and tried a cigarette. When I lied about spilling juice on the family computer. When my boyfriend's parents went away, and there was a fireplace with a blanket, and abstract concepts like cunnilingus and fellatio became messy, awkward, wondrous realities for the first time. Please tell me my dad was watching a Knicks game on the Lord's flat screen when that went down. Then, one day, my spontaneous belief in the man in the sky was gone. It was this slow second morning that crept up on me. I hadn't just lost God or angels or demons, but my actual dad. He wasn't looking out for me. He wouldn't greet me at the end of a long life and sit with me on a cloud petting Pegasus and drinking moonbeam lattes. While there are parts of organized religion that boggle or offend my mind, the alternative, the lack of belief, can be lonely. I sometimes envy those with faith. And sometimes I still secretly wonder if my dad can see me, like when I don't bother recycling. My dad and Captain Planet up there, judging my eco mistakes. But mostly, I assume this time is all we get with the ones we love. So wring every drop out of life that you can. Or at least try.
That's a scene from the new play Licked Cupcake, featuring actor Cheryl Edson and Kristen Dewey, joined by actor Denver Sky Vaughn and director Johanna Edwards here with me in the studio. The play will be staged at the Royal Bakery Building in Raleigh, and you can find out the details at our website, stateofthings.org. So, Denver, let me tell you, ask you a little bit more about this music now. In fact, maybe what I will do is I will ask you to play a song and tell me a little bit about the song that you're going to play for us.
Yes. So one of our young women actors in the play plays a character named Briar Rose. And this part was created and performed by Reagan. And she is so lovely. She's our in middle school, dealing with all the struggles of middle school, but also really trying to figure out what her future might be and what this relationship to this being in the sky is. So this song is her talking to whoever may be up there. And yeah.
I want to hear that in just a minute. Maybe I'll ask you to play us out. But first of all, I want to thank all of you for talking with us today on the program. My guests are Cheryl Edson, Kristen Dewey, and Denver Sky Vaughn. Licked Cupcake on stage in Raleigh this Thursday through Sunday, and then again next weekend. And we have, it's part of the Women's Theater Festival taking place all across the Triangle through August. And we have all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. I want to thank you all for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
There's more of our program just ahead, but first the music of Denver Sky Vaughn. Denver.
I won't pretend that I don't want to see you, or that it hurts when I don't get your call. But sometimes, God, I really, really need you. And not just for cash to spend at the mall. Middle school has turned out to be awful, with everyone talking behind our backs. Even me, who doesn't even want to. But with my peers, I'm always on attack.